pure in heart, they'll see. They'll get a glimpse of God. Tonight, I'm starting my message by asking one question. How teachable are you? Do you know it all? Are you teachable tonight? Are you humble enough for somebody to tell you something? Your faith isn't. I'm speaking tonight on the right kind of teaching. I want to give you some of the greatest verses that's been called to my attention today, and we're going to go to the book of Job. Job was a very desperate man. He was on solid gauges. I mean, complete instruments. He had no idea how everything was coming out. God threw him into a contest, and he was in the middle. I mean, he was in the crossfire between God and the devil. Now, the contest wasn't between the devil and Job. It was between the devil and God. But God didn't fill Job in. He didn't say, you know, as I've told you before, he didn't say, now, Job, I'm in a scrap with the devil. He challenged me, and I accepted the challenge, just like Jesus did it to Jordan. And he said, he's told me that he could put me out of grace. I mean, the temptation was real. It was by faith. He made no promise, no lucrative promise. He didn't say, now, you've got 3,000 beautiful Cadillacs or Continental, maybe Mark 6s, and I'm going to give you 6,000 of them. You've got 3,000 camels, I'll give you 6,000 if you'll just stay true now, Job. Uh-uh. No, that wouldn't have been the temptation at all that I'm talking about. Job went into it blindfolded. I mean, he got on instruments, and he was depending on the Lord, and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he got to tell him that the worm's getting him. He said, look like the worm's going to get me. But he said, I'll tell you one thing, when they're chewing on me, I'll still believe in God and holler, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you can just turn all the worms loose on me you want to and drag me out to the cemetery, but I'll tell you what, when he came back out of the cemetery bearing 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls, he came back and singing, blessed be the name. The devil said, what kind of dude is that? Man, I've never killed 10 children to one man, and him supposed to be. And here he is coming home singing. Not a chicken in the yard. I mean, not a rooster. Bird singing, not a child saying, here comes Daddy. Oh, no. Brother, I'm just trying to tell you, you haven't gone through anything yet. Don't sit around and pitch your pity parties. You haven't gone through anything yet. Don't feel sorry for yourself if yourself is dead. Don't feel sorry for dead people if they're Christian. They're better off than you are. I tell you, I went to Chattanooga, you know, and I went out to the church where Dr. Rice's daughter. You think she's at home weeping over Dr. John R. going to heaven? Uh-uh. She's sitting on the organ thing.
You heard me on the radio. I really get tired of little old bitty meanie mouth things that want to live in a cemetery. Man, get out there and bury your loving. Get out of it.
And don't be running back out there. You say, well, you're making me mad. Well, go ahead and get mad. Why don't you start living for living people? Why do you want to hang around? Give me the money you spend on the flowers and I'll get some living people ready to go to cemetery. That's right. All these cemeteries loaded down with a bunch of flowers and dead people in heaven are somewhere else, but you can't help them then. Why don't you spend your money for that which is bread? You get the burden Brother Olaf's got and the vision I've got. And you turn 50 people away like we turn in all of our homes every day that rolls around. You turn as many people away as I've told you, as Bob Jones has, and Jerry Falwell has, and Dr. Lee Robertson has, and BBC, and Jack Hiles have. In 5 years, we turn that many people away every year, 15,000 of them. And Brother Musselman, they all saved, are supposed to be going off Christian school. All of ours are lost. Where's evangelism? I'm just trying to stir a bunch of people up. churches haven't got enough vision to look over the fence. Letting all the young people go to hell. Where are you going to have them to go to college next year unless we win them now? Why, the Beatles got more than the churches have ever had. Oh, my soul. Well, let me get into the text. Job, chapter 6. Job, chapter 6. And it'll be verse 24. 6:24. Teach me. Now, you know what that said, don't you? Teach me, and I'll keep my mouth shut. Teach me, I'll hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. See, Job is sort of searching Job out. All right? Turn to chapter 34. Chapter 34. And verse 32. We're coming over pretty close now to the end of the trail. And he said, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I've done iniquity, I'll do it no more. I'll quit. I'll give it up. Now, boy, let me tell you something. When you get to that place, see, when you're willing to say that which I see not, teach thou me. If I've done iniquity, I'll do it. He was the man in the world at that time. He was the best man God had. In fact, his God, like Aaron would say to the devil, and the devil came up and said, well, you know, the sons of God came, and the devil came along with him. Here he comes, old smutty face, he comes. Boy, he goes to church every time, you know. I've never gone to a service, he wasn't present. But that's a challenge. I like to see him with him if he didn't. I mean, the potential with him if he didn't show up. And he doesn't get on the outside and peep in. He comes in and says, of course, he always shags a ride. That's right, he never gets in unless somebody brings him. No way for him to get in here unless he gets in somebody. That's right, he has to get in somebody and comes in and sits down and comes up and says, you're not going to like this, and he's too loud and all that. They're faking it. That's what all them girls are faking it. And all them old boys over there, they just long for the ride. They're nothing to them. Oh, he's a liar. Oh, tell him to go home. See? Listen. Well, he said, if I've done iniquity, I'm not going to do it any more. Now then, turn with me, please, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Only do I wait all the day. Now then, I'll just refer to Psalm 119. It's too long to read. I'll give you the fact that he said nine times, I read it today, nine times in the 119th Psalm, he said, teach me thy statutes and teach me thy judgments. Teach me. Now you see, the psalmist was begging for training in the statutes and in the teaching. Now then, I want to give you something that may not be acceptable in educational circles today. Where did Paul get his education? What school did he go to? Now, I'm going to introduce what I'm thinking to say by saying the denominations have more and more said to a fellow that said, I surrender to preach. I give my life to the Lord. All right, son. All right. But you realize you don't know enough to preach, don't you? You're not educated. You might do great damage if you started preaching. Therefore, whole denomination, we will not let you preach until after you go through school. I'm talking about supposed to be higher learning. They got to go off and take 4 years and get a degree before they'll be allowed to preach. Well, by that time, they're frozen over at the pump handle. I mean, they'll just be walking robots. Brethren, I'd like to devotionalize your heart. You give me your attention, I promise in 15 minutes I'll run out. That's about it, isn't it? I don't know what makes me act like that, but... Lord, have mercy. People come, a man came in here the other night, he's in one of these First National churches, you know. He'd been in there all of his life. I mean, he's been right in the middle of the denom, and he's an fella. And he walked up to me, he said, "Man," he said, "do y'all do like this all the time?" I said, "Yeah, just..." I remember he said, "I don't know if there's any margin who became better at the feet of someone who taught him." I mean, get your professor to tell me here. He might surmise, but he can't figure out anything except, and I tell you what, the reason I know the Holy Spirit taught him is because he came back and wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the letters to the churches, and he was the man that instructed most of the New Testament, and most of the doctrine of the Bible was written by Paul. Listen, salvation by grace was completely revealed by the Holy Spirit to Paul. And God gave him, I believe, his teaching. Now, I'm for teaching if it's the right kind, but Brother Cameron, the more I think about this thing, the more I believe that we need to start training our own preacher boys. I don't know why we've got to send them off and run them through a 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 year program when time is running out. About the time they get through school, Jesus will come. And I believe we better get at it. February the what? February the 3rd, brother, the Faith Institute opened. You done it. I tell you what, I know that everybody's ever lived. And we're what are you little girls? Are you all reading the Bible? Staying with me now? Okay, I just want to make sure. Let me ask you this. He says in the words of that, Jesus says to the young, "Verily, verily, I said, he that works in the greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." A brazen angle. That's just what Numbers chapter 21. Just an old brazen serpent. The brazen serpent didn't crawl up on the pole. It was made by a man by the name of Moses. And God said, "Make thee a brazen serpent." Look at this thing. We're talking about the preacher. They were a man. Jesus was the denomination ever started. After all, there was ever a Baptist. Now, you might as well face it, boys. We're not talking about denominations. I'm talking about Jesus tonight. Now, they said, "Get out there and put him on a pole. Stand by the thousand, put the serpent up, and tell him to look and live." And I said, "That to say this." And I know what one of my deacons said over at Second Baptist. He said in the meeting, he said, "Well," he said, "I'll have to admit that Brother Olof's preaching sounds like the Scripture, but it don't sound Baptistic." He worried to death. He's more interested in Baptistic than he was Christian. He's so full of tradition, you know. One of the men came in one day and he did everything but throw me down from the second story. But since then, he's apologized. One of my little old deacons with his eyes flashing fire and his tongue hot as fire, he looked at me and said one night about midnight, "You must think you're God." And I said, "No, but I'm his son. That's pretty close kin." Since then, he's apologized. Folks, I don't mean to get off in the flesh, but it costs me something to get the little peace that I've gotten because I had to reject religion. I had to reject the establishment. I had to buck the news media. I had to buck society and all gadgets and gimmicks of this day. And I had to step outside the gate and walk in loneliness for a while. But, brother, it's worth more than it ever costs. If we can help girls and boys and men and women and let you know that the just can live by faith, and anything that's not of faith is sin, and you can't please God without faith. No way. Not enough organization, not enough building, not enough land, not enough religion, not enough orders of service to please God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. talking about teaching tonight. Jesus came preaching, teaching, and healing. Now I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But before we do, let's go to 1 John 2. I believe this would be the heart of the thing I'm going to try to leave with you. And I see my time's going to run out here in a little bit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Drastic verse. Unaccepted verse. Unwelcome verse. Did you know there's a balance we got to find in our ministry? I've prayed for many years that I'll be a symmetrical Christian. I don't want to be unbalanced on either end. I'd like to be right down the middle of the road of truth. For instance, I believe if it's all Bible, you'll dry up. If it's all Spirit, you'll blow up. I really. That's just a thought that came to me today. You put it, you notice these great Bible students and deeper lives. Man, they're dry. Listen, they can go the deepest and come up the driest of anybody you've ever heard of. Huh? Oh, listen, they got a whang doodle tone maybe and a far-fetched look in their eye and said, we're seeking the deeper things. Oh, look, but they never win a soul. They wouldn't know how. Ever again, I went to a big fashionable church. However, got it? I don't know, except members of the church wanted me to come. And they'd had a preacher there from the year one. I mean, he'd been there ever since the church was in the cradle. And he was a great Bible teacher. And first time I walked in, he said to me, we're glad to have you. He's so gracious. He was so gracious. I never had a fellow in his pulpit like me in all the history of his church. Because he said, now, Brother Roth, we don't give an invitation in our church. I said, you mean till I got here? Yeah. Well, he said, now, I said, oh, yeah. I said, if I preach and I feel like anything about to happen, I'm going to invite him to do something about it. Yeah. Yeah. And so I just started off on Sunday morning, and I never forget, had a beautiful choir, the most colorful robes you ever saw. Man, I want you to know they spent a heap of money on them robes. Boy, they were decked out. I mean to tell you. And they had a big curtain up there, you know, and I came in that night and I was sitting down here and I kept waiting for them to pull that curtain. And I'd look around, you know, and I knew it's time. Directly they started, they never did pull that curtain. I want to go back and peep and see if they, you know, had a secret choir or something. Come to find out, they was all gone. Oh, they didn't have a Sunday night choir. They said their piece on Sunday morning. They got it all over with, Brother Musselman, Sunday morning. And I said, boy, they do need revival. Of course, I couldn't preach to the choir because they'd gone. Isn't that pitiful? But the people, you know what? Begin to give an invitation and the people begin to come. Brother, I never forget one night, the altar was filled. An old drunkard came and fell down at the altar. And the preacher come up there and he said, you go talk to him. And this is what he said. I don't know what to tell him. You know what? He's one of these deeper life fellows. Man, listen. He knew all the things you could talk about in deeper life studies, but he didn't know how to talk to a drunkard. Isn't it pitiful? Jesus said, well, he ate with the publicans and the sinners. That's right. Somebody said the Republicans and the senators. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We all need to be visited by Jesus, every one of us. All right. Now then go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll probably close out the message trying to get through this great chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we begin at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Did you get it? None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Those government boys, they'd have never crucified it. They wouldn't have given you a permit to kill him if they'd have believed it. But as it is written, notice, this is what the pianist said a while ago, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now here's the difference between man going in the deeper things. Man may get them located, but he can't reveal them, but the Holy Spirit can. Now when the Holy Spirit takes you into the deep things of God, he'll tell you what they mean. And he'll give you, he'll make the revelation. You see, the thing that man does not know is that he cannot reveal anything. I mean, the mystery is hidden from the foundation of the world, but it's revealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and it's written down in the Word of God. But the Word of God's the deadest book I've read in my life, apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what I found out. There's nothing that'll compare with the Word of God, and I ought not to read anything more than I read the Word of God. Now, when you begin to do that, you've got your priorities all mixed up. When you watch television more than you read the Word of God, you've had it spiritually. You say, I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm just telling you, you're not putting first things first. You'd rather see than hear. And hear, blessed is, he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, he said, you'll have to go to the Spirit of God to find out what's in God. You'll have to get into Christ and him in you before you can know what he is. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Get it? They're freely given to us. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Man's wisdom teacheth. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now then, I'd like to invite all the psychiatrists to be present. I'd like to invite all the preachers to be present. I'd like to invite all of these Bible rewriters. I'd like to ask the Good News for Modern Man bunch, and I'd like to ask the Revised Standard bunch to come on now, and let's get into this next verse, and it'll solve your problem and stop you from monkeying with the Word of God. Yes. Now, you said, Brother Olaf, why have you kind of renewed your King James Version approach? Because too many people are drifting away. Yes. Too many people are saying it doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter, but it does matter. Now, get it. Verse 14, but the natural man, that's what you are when you're born, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Hear me. The reason they have rewritten the Bible and added the human element, taking out the thee and the thou and the thine and other things, they're writing a Bible for the natural man.
That's right.
They want something the natural man can understand. They've got to slip out the divine so the human critter can understand it. And that's it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Oh, but you'd say, Brother Olaf, the people were all had their doctorates. Wonder where they got them. It don't make any difference to me. Dear friend, this book stands. And you better stay with it. The lady came here last Saturday night.
filed out five $100 bills and said, thank you for what you're doing for my daughter. Now then, after being here, these three services, I'm going back home unhappy. I've got to go into my church when I get back and watch him pick up the Revised Standard Version and the modern translation and say, it just really doesn't matter. He said to her, and I think I mentioned this, why they're all the same, then why did they rewrite it? People have been deceived and fooled. Listen, when the Revised Standard Version came out, there was a solid protest among fundamental preachers. But when Good News for Modern Man came out, nobody said much about it. And people have gotten used to it. And now then, they're quoting it in various magazines and various articles and so forth. But the natural man, receive it. Listen, the Bible was not written for lost people to understand. The Bible didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll understand. It said you'll be saved and then you'll understand. I don't have to understand in order to be saved, but I do have to believe. And when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then He'll give me a spiritual understanding. And the Holy Spirit will come in and said, now then, you'll have no problem. I'll reveal to you the King James Version. I ought to because I wrote it. That's my word. Now I'm just going to ask you a question. If the King James Version is not the Word of God, then what is the Word of God? Did God give it and then lose His power to preserve it? That's what the modernists are saying today. And so, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritual. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have, get it, we have the mind of Christ. And that's it. Do you? You mean to tell me we can have the mind of Christ? You say, what is the mind of Christ? This book.
Amen.
That's the only mind I've ever known that He has. He wrote His mind down so I wouldn't miss it. I go through His complete mind at least once a year. I think everything He thinks once a year at least. That's what He thought. And if that's what He thought, I'm going to think after Him. I'm going right behind Him. I'm going to walk. I don't get it over in the Holy Land. I've never been over that. And never will go till Jesus gets back.
Yeah.
But I tell you one thing. I walk through the Holy Land every year, right where He is. And this is it right here. The Word of God. Oh, I know it's simple. I know it's hard sometimes. Straight, but it's right.
Amen.
For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us, there you are, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously in this evil world. Folks, I believe the Holy Spirit is our main teacher tonight. And I believe He'll teach you, you girls, you boys, you have access to sit at the feet of the greatest teacher, the same teacher that Paul had. You can go to him. The teacher of Arabia. He's available today, and he won't charge you one dime. There's no tuition. And we pay you board and room. Huh? And so here you are, sitting at the feet of the Holy Spirit, coming to a gospel church, singing with God's people around other converts of life faith. Why on earth aren't we better Christians than we're? You know, when I walked in the church, Tennessee Temple, Highland Park Baptist Church, I saw a tremendous world picture. I mean, the whole thing. The whole world. All the nations. And that stands for O. And the rest of the letters, the theme for the year. O, and the whole world was in the O. T-H-E-R-S. Others. That's the song they sing. Sort of like we do living by faith. That renewed the story that I've told you concerning Billy, the colored maid, that claimed the church at Second Baptist on Furman Avenue. And when we were praying and having our devotionals one day,
came her time, and she gave some of those stanzas. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel down to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. Help me in all the work I do, to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for You must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain, buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise up again, unless to live for others. I like this one. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the little old crown that I've won, while thinking still for others. Other Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I may live like Thee. Could I share a blessing with you? I mentioned on the radio, but really, I got so happy. This week, years ago, it's been 30-some-odd years ago, I walked in the elevator of the old county jail, and a little old crippled Latin American was on a little old chair there, little old elevated stool. And he said, where are you going? I said, sixth floor. Fifth floor, county jail. Then on up to the sixth floor, but the fifth floor. He said, all right, I'll take you. His name was Ernie Garcia. Ernie Garcia. And so, he and I had many, many ups and downs in that elevator. I'm telling you, and he was always so nice and fine. And finally, whether he lost his job or what, but he lives in a little house. It's nice. And he called me, maybe a year, 2 years ago. He said, Brother Olaf, I said, I still remember you. He said, I'm crippled, you know, and I've talked to the banks and I've talked to businessmen. And he said, I just told them I didn't want to be on welfare. I wanted to make my own living, and I can work with my hands. And he said, I make nameplates and I make leather goods and I make this. And he said, I've been trying to borrow some money, Brother Olaf, and I can't get any money. And he said, I wonder if you could help me. I said, I think I can. I said, Ernie, how much do you want? He said, I want $400. I need $400. So I got $400. $400, I took it over to him. Oh, he said, God bless you, Brother Olaf. You're a good man. And he said, you know, I took you to the jail and I saw you so many times. I've kept up with you. I listen to you on the radio every day. And his wife, she can't talk any English, but she and I, we manage to converse with each other. And when we run out of conversation, we just hug each other's neck and go on. And so we can understand that, you know. And because we love one another. God bless you, Brother Olaf. So you know what he did? He went ahead, and some of my boys went over and drove him. Some of you boys drove him out, and he was selling this. And so he called me and said, Brother Olaf, come by. I got $100 for you. Where is me to keep it? I owe you. I want to pay you back. I said, all right, all right. And I'd go by that, and I'd take him oranges, and I'd take him vegetables, and I'd take him this. And he called me this week. He said, Brother Olaf, I got $100 for you. I didn't know how much he'd paid back. I got a big load. Brother Mac went out and got me a big load of the nicest things, and I got fruit. And I tell you, I really took him a load of stuff this time. I took three big boxes full, and she met me at the door every time I'd bring a box, and every time she'd say, God bless you, God bless you. And, of course, I don't know where it's my flesh, but he said, Brother Olaf, you've got to be the greatest man on earth. You know, I've never known anybody like you, Brother Olaf. You just look after me, and nobody loaned me any money, and you did. Here's the last $100. I'm paying $100 back. And I tell you what, and I said, well, I brought the interest. I'm paying interest on it. I don't charge anybody interest. Any money that I loan to a friend of mine, I've never charged a dime of interest, but I tell you what, I got the interest. Listen, what a joy. Knelt down there and they put their arms around me, both of them, you know, and they thanked me and said, we'd be listening on the radio. Let me tell you something. Some of you folks, you'll dry up and blow away if you don't get interest in other people. But you little selfish girls, the only thing you can think about is yourself. Some of you look like death warmed over. That's right. I'm looking at some of you now. I'm telling you the deadest things I've ever seen in my life. You know why you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you ever know Him, you got somebody to live for. Oh, why don't God's people share what they've got with other people? That's the reason the Lord will never give you anything, because you want to keep it for your selfish thinking self. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Little is much when God is in it. I labor not for wealth nor fame, and there's a crown, and you can win it if you go
in Jesus' name.
Are you laid aside from service? Your body's worn from many a care. You can still be right in that old battle when you kneel down in your place of prayer. And little is much, and God is in it. I labor not for wealth nor fame. Oh, there's a crown, and you can win it if you go
in Jesus' name.
Soon this old battle, oh, it's going to be all over. Then we'll gather to that sweet harvest home. Then Jesus will say, if we've been faithful, we're a soldier. Come on, marching on home. And little is much, come on. God is in it. Labor not for us. I'm gonna win.
And you can win it.
If you go
in Jesus' name.
Well, little is much. What about it?
God is in it.
I labor not for wealth.
There's a crown.
And you can win it. If you go
in Jesus' name.
And little is much. When God is in it, amen. There's a crown. You can win
it.
If you go
in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together and pray.